Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to our broadcast this morning. We hope you tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We have an extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com, and we invite you to go and look out at that. These radio programs will be an MP3 file by the title and by the months that we recorded them. And also, we have a host of other Bible-related material that will aid you in your study of God's Word. We are hopeful that very soon that we will be back to meeting again in our regular assemblies. And when we do that, our Bible study periods are 9:30 on Sunday morning and at 10:20 for worship and 6:30 Sunday evening, and again at 7 p.m. at Wednesday evening for Bible study. And we will get that information out on our website as soon as we are able to safely meet together again. And we encourage you to come and be with us at that time. Now, today, I want to begin discussing a lesson that I hope that will be of an encouragement to you. We're kind of going to start to get away from the lessons that we've been doing the last 6 or 7 weeks that have really to do with our handling of the coronavirus. We want to get back to some biblical studies. And this morning, I want to begin a series that I'm going to probably just do for a couple of weeks, this week and next week. But I want to begin this morning by reading a passage in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work." I want you to notice as we begin our study this morning that the scripture has been given by the inspiration of God. That means it is God-breathed. We have revealed to us the mind of God that was revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, in, as we can read in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 13. Now, this scripture is profitable. That means it has value. That means there's something that it can give us in life that's a good thing. And it's profitable for doctrine. That word doctrine means teaching. It's profitable for us to understand spiritual teaching. For reproof. That means it can correct us. That means reproof is we can be rebuked because we're doing things that are not pleasing to God. And for correction, it does not just reprove us, but it also corrects us to show what that correction and why it needs to be done. And then instruction in righteousness. It doesn't just tell us what's wrong. It tells us how we can be right. And why does God do that? In order that the man of God may be complete. That means perfect in every good work. And so what we see in these verses is that the scripture has been given for a profitable benefit in our lives in order to give us instruction that is of great value to us. I want to begin talking to you today about the subject of the gospel changes man. Now, why is that significant? It says the gospel changes man. But you know what? There's two things that we need to know about that statement. Number one, if the gospel changes man, then the implication is man needs to change. Okay, if man needs to change and the gospel is the means of bringing about that change, why and how does God do that? How does the gospel change men, and why does man need to be changed? We're going to seek to answer those two questions in our study. We want to begin this morning by reminding you that in creation we were created in the image of God. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. You see, God created man in his image. Does that mean that we're gods? No. That means we were created with a dual being. We're not just flesh and blood. We have a soul. We have an inner being, something that we can't see, but something that is within each of us. And in Genesis 2 and verse 7, the Bible says that God made man of dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. We have an inner being. That's what makes us in the image of God. We have the spiritual side to us, and we have this inner being that is our spirit that is going to live on after our fleshly life comes to an end. And so we have been created in the image of God, and we have been created for his purposes. Now, in Romans chapter 1, in verse 16 and 17, the scripture says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation, for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So God gave a plan, and the plan was in the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of Christ was God's power to save him. Now again, save him from what? What did God need to change in man in order to save him? Well, if we go back to the biblical account of the beginning, we see that God gave Adam and Eve a very simple law. He told them in the midst of the garden, there was a tree in the midst of the garden that they were not to touch. They were not to eat of its fruit. It was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They were not to touch it. They were not to eat of that tree. And in the day that they would die. That's what God told them. He gave them that instruction, and he gave them that command. But in Genesis chapter 3, the devil comes along in the form of a serpent, and he deceives Eve, and she yields to the temptation, and then she gives to Adam, and he yields, and he also falls by transgression. And when God came into the garden in the cool of the day, and he questioned Adam, he knew that Adam had done what God had told him not to do. And that's when sin was born. And he passed out punishment to the man, the woman, and the serpent. And from that time, in Genesis 3:24, he cast man from his presence and cast him from the Garden of Eden. Now, the relationship is marred. Sin marred the relationship. Sin made the relationship different. And now something was going to have to be done to bring that relationship back into fellowship and to reconcile it back into what God would have it to be. And so there had to be a plan in order to bring sinful men back into a covenant relationship with God that he would accept. Now this presents a couple of questions that we want to present to you. Is the gospel, as God gave it, adapted to man as God made him? Now, is the gospel, which is God's power to save him, is it adaptable to man as God made him? And we might ask, if not, why not? Now, there are many today that take the argument that the Bible, because it's so old and it's ancient, that it's not relevant, that it cannot fit the needs and cannot do the things that man needs for it to do, and so we need additional instruction and additional information because it is no longer going to get the job done. Well, to say that he could not adapt the gospel to man's needs limits the power of God. I don't think you can limit the power of God. If God was able to speak the world into existence and create everything that we can see or touch or feel, and he was able to do it in six literal days, he can leave a message and a plan that would be adaptable to man in any situation and in any time period that he might live on the earth. And the second thing is, to say that he would not do that reflects upon the goodness of God and transfer the responsibility of man to God. But yet that doesn't agree with the scripture, because the scripture says, the scripture tells us in Acts 10:34 and 35 that we need to fear God, and everyone is acceptable to him who fears God and what? And does his will. Listen to the words of Acts chapter 10, in verse 34 and 35. Listen to what they said. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God has no partiality of persons, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. You see, if we fear him, that means respect him, and we obey him and we practice righteousness, we will be accepted. And so the responsibility of man is his own. God is responsible for giving him the plan that will be able to reconcile him back into that relationship that was marred by sin, but it is his responsibility to react to the plan and to follow the plan. And so God gave a plan that's adaptable to man in order to save him from himself and from his sin. And God did that in the gospel. The gospel is God's power to save him. Now, in order to save him, that means he has to be changed. Okay? Man has to change. Okay? How does that change brought about? Where does that change begin? Well, that's an easy answer. The change begins in the thing that must be changed in order to bring about a different direction and a different outcome. And that is the biblical heart. In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the scripture says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then our Lord himself said in Matthew 15, verse 18 through 20, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Now, in our verse here, we understand that the thing that defiles a man is his heart. Why does his heart defile him? Because out of it proceeds evil thoughts. You can't have evil thoughts unless they're in your mind. And when we're talking about the heart, ladies and gentlemen, we're not talking about the blood pump. We're talking about our mind. We're talking about where everything is formulated. You see, the heart has to be right in order for the action to be right. You can't commit murder until you have hate in your heart. You can't commit adultery until you have lust in your mind. You can't commit fornication unless you have evil desire in your mind. Theft, if you have inordinate desire for something that doesn't belong to you, it will cause you to want to steal it. False witness is something that begins in the mind that you determine you're going to lie about a given situation. And so the reason that change has to be made is because of sin, but where sin change has to begin is in the mind. And so the gospel is aimed at the mind. It's aimed at the mind in order to change man. Now next week we will begin to look deeper at how this change is brought about through the gospel of Christ, and how it is aimed at the heart of man in order to bring about that change. Understand one thing as we close this morning. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That means all of us need change. All of us need to be altered. So all of us need the gospel. And we'll talk about that.